This is Upstate's HealthLink on air. Linda Cohen here with you. Bladder cancer is a silent killer, but there are successful treatments for it. And here with more about an aggressive and dramatic treatment are Dr. Gennady Bratslavsky, professor and chair of urology at Upstate Medical University, and Alan Sester, a bladder cancer survivor. Welcome to you both. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Dr. B, let me start with you, Dr. Bratslavsky. Help us understand why and how bladder cancer can become so life-threatening.
Bladder cancer, while it starts on the inside of the bladder, has a propensity to spread as it initially grows deeper into a wall of a bladder, and then it can invade not only adjacent organs, it can also go what we call in a systemic disease, and it can also include lymph nodes. The bladder cancer can spread into lungs, lymph nodes, it can go into a liver, and pretty much any other organ.
So it can be a devastating cancer.
It can
cancer.
Become a devastated, widely spread, what we call metastatic cancer, for which the treatment options are very limited, as well as the survival is quite poor.
Especially
when it's metastasized.
Mr. Sester, you are a bladder cancer survivor, and you're here for a particular reason to tell us your story. Tell us what happened to you.
Well, I had was feeling great. I had begun having symptoms, some leakage, and this went on for quite a while. I was being treated for a large enlarged prostate because they said, "You're an old guy, this happens." I was sent to a urologist who said the same thing. A year passed, and one day I came in and I went to the bathroom and I urinated blood. That got my attention. I was given a CAT scan. It was found that there was a cancer. I was given the options of surgery, chemo, radiation. I wanted none of it. I ran away to Texas for alternate treatment. I figured there's not doing that to me. I went down to Texas, spent everything I had, and grew a brand new tumor. Came back in the VA, removed the second tumor, and that's when they told me about Dr. Bratslavsky and this procedure. Their feeling was that I would be a good candidate and that I could avoid the bag, which was my biggest concern. Once I heard that, I was 100% on board. I didn't care if I was the guinea pig. All I knew was that I had an option. They felt very comfortable in recommending me to Dr. Bratslavsky, and I just, having no experience in the field, I had no idea if I should be afraid or not. I just saw it as a fantastic opportunity, given what I had to deal with. And so I was most happy to proceed.
So what was this new procedure or procedure, and what were his treatment options as he started to allude?
Right. So Mr. Sester indeed have what is called a muscle-invasive bladder cancer, the one that grew into a muscle. His options, as he mentioned, included chemotherapy up front with the bladder removal. It included chemotherapy with radiation treatment, included bladder removal only. And as Mr. Sester mentioned to you, there are many alternative therapies that unfortunately are not FDA approved. We did subject Mr. Sester eventually to chemotherapy after we have learned that his tumor did go into the lymph node, but that we learned only after the removal of the bladder.
So what made you think about this procedure, which is not a common one?
So the cystectomy itself actually is quite a common procedure for those that have bladder cancer.
A cystectomy meaning a removal.
A removal of the bladder and the prostate and seminal vesicles and ampulla vas deferens, and of course removal of the lymph nodes that come with it. What was relatively uncommon for this area is creation of a new bladder, which is a creation of a new bladder out of the patient's intestines. And that is not something that is commonly offered or has been offered in this area. We certainly offer this to our patients at Upstate Medical University at Urology Department here. And what it involves is pretty much using about 60 centimeters of patient's intestine that will be configured into a sphere form, into a round shape structure, just like a bladder, that will later be connected to the patient's urethra so they could actually void or urinate as they would with their normal bladder. And we also attach kidneys to that sphere made out of intestines. So patients have no back. And the fact that we did it using a robotic assistance, and Mr. Sisteris' largest incision is less than an inch probably, we have been able to avoid a lot of what we call morbidity and post-operative pain, and hopefully get him back to a normal level of activity relatively soon.
So let me just restate it as a layperson. And with a relatively minimally invasive procedure using robotics, you were able to repurpose a part, reuse or use a part of his intestine, create or reconstruct a new bladder, and he's good to go?
He pretty much so far has been good to go. Of course, in the beginning, we must go through some healing phases as a portion of the intestine gets healed with a portion of the urethra or water tube through which we urinate. And we certainly wait for a certain number of weeks for these water tubes from the kidneys called ureters to heal up with that sphere. But eventually all tubes are removed and patients are able to indeed urinate. And yes, we were able to do the whole removal of the bladder and lymph nodes and the connection of everything using the robotic assistance.
And as you said, with a minimal incision and therefore less of the potential problems when you do an open procedure and you basically have to cut the person wide open and all the potential hazards that occur with that.
Sure. I do not wish to overstate the advantage of robotic assistance, as recent studies do show that you can do this operation as good
either way.
But certainly in Mr. Sisteris' case, he went home after 3 days of surgery. He has had minimal pain. He looked fantastic immediately after surgery on day one, and we were quite pleased, and we felt that in his specific case, ability of our department and us to perform this operation may have shaved or saved him from some of the perioperative prolonged course associated with some of the open procedures that we do.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air. I'm Linda Cohen here with urologist Dr. Gennady Bratslavsky and cancer survivor Alan Sisteris. We're talking about his bladder reconstruction. So tell us about the operation. How long did it take? And you were the one who did it, am I correct?
You're correct. I did it with one of our residents, who was a chief resident, Dr. Leocario, who was a great help. We have performed this procedure together. It took us pretty much the entire day. Of course, we have to factor the certain things as anesthesia time and wake-up time. But it did take anywhere between 6 and 8 hours for the procedure. This is a procedure, again, that is a great substitute for younger patients, for those patients that do need to drain the urine somehow after the bladder comes out. And a very traditional way of draining it is through the bag, and Mr. Sisteris really wanted to avoid that option.
It's an external bag.
It's an external bag called, you know, urostomy or ileostomy. And Mr. Sisteris, being a young, vibrant, healthy, active man who is also very self-conscientious and very responsible, felt to be a great candidate for this procedure. And we have immediately agreed to proceed with this after we certainly spoke about pluses and minuses.
Where else, I know you came from other institutions before you joined the Upstate faculty, where else have you done this procedure?
So the first time I did it was back in my training at Albany Med, and I have done these operations at National Cancer Institute, at the National Institutes of Health. There are a few institutions in this country that offer this procedure, including main cancer centers, and I'm delighted that we can offer such a technique and a procedure at Upstate here for our Central New York community.
How do you make the decision as to somebody? You mentioned certain factors, his age, his activity level. Perhaps he had no premorbid or other kind of medical concerns. How do you make the decision on who's a good candidate for this type of surgery?
Yeah, it's a great question. There are several factors that come into it in terms of where the cancer is located into a bladder, age of a patient, patient's sense of responsibility and ability to appreciate when something is not right often is a patient's preference, because there are some patients who are absolutely adamant about not ever having to potentially having to put a catheter in their new bladder. And just this possibility often turns many patients off, and they gladly choose to have a bag or external appliance as they are not willing to consider it. There is always a possibility of what is called a nighttime urinary incontinence that happens even in the best hands, and it happens even in the most highest volume centers. And for some patients, appreciation of a possibility of even having to wear a pad at nighttime is a no-no. So it's a risk and benefit discussion, but in most cases, and for many patients, it's a very informed decision. And I think the role of a surgeon is to actually go over closely over the, all the options and understanding what exactly the potential pitfalls may be with choosing one or the other.
And are there follow-up procedures necessary, or is it, again, dependent on the specific case in terms of chemo, other ancillary treatments, chemo, radiation, that kind of thing?
Any patient with bladder cancer requires a lifelong follow-up. So Mr. Sestera and I have become close friends because we see each other regularly. Sometimes outside the office, but most of the time in the office. But the lifelong surveillance is required, and much will depend on the final disease pathology. And Mr. Sestera has done extremely well. I'm knocking on the wood.
How long ago was his procedure done?
So we're coming close to...
A little over 2.5 years.
Over wow. 2.5, coming closer to 3 years. And in somebody with a lymph node positive disease, I think it's very important to appreciate that we're doing quite well. But we took out many, many nodes of him very aggressively. So I think that has contributed to his success.
In the very little bit of time we have left, tell us, Mr. Sestera, what lessons have you learned? What would you like to share with other people about your...
If you are, in my case, if you're having symptoms that seem inexplicable, ask the doctors for all the tests available. A test was not offered to me because it was known the insurance companies would not pay for it, and had that test been run a year earlier, I would not have had an advanced cancer. So ask about available tests, regardless of whether the insurance will pay for it.
And how are you feeling?
Are you kidding? I am excellent. Just
oh my goodness.
Couldn't be happy. Couldn't be better.
Wonderful story. Thank you so very much for coming in. My guests have been Dr. Gennady Bratslavsky, Professor and Chair of Urology at Upstate Medical University, and Alan Sestera, bladder cancer survivor. Once again, thanks for sharing your story. I'm Linda Cohen, and you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air.